Morning. Today's daf is Lamed Zayin in Becharos. So we're back on Lamed Vav. And I'd like to finish the perek today. Fifth perek of Becharos. Okay, we talked about yesterday a couple of very basic topics in Shas. Really, the issue is about Ne'amanus. It comes off the Mishnah. And the Mishnah talks about who's Ne'aman, who's trusted. Remember, the biggest issue with the Bechor is to find out how did they get a blemish. The Zman that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around, which is Zmanenu. Been now close to 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash. So you have a Bechor born into your flock. You are basically stuck. You're going to have to wait until it develops a blemish. And we also learned that the blemish has to come naturally. It has to come Eilof. And you can't put a blemish on it. And so we discussed yesterday who's believed, who's got credibility to say that this animal in fact got a natural blemish and I'm not the one who put the blemish on it. So who is believed? So big machlokas yesterday. We saw a Mishnah and the Mishnah presented numerous positions, numerous opinions about who is given credibility. And then the Gemara followed up with a Braisa. In the Mishnah we had three opinions. The Gemara then quoted a Braisa which introduced even a fourth opinion. Okay, and the Gemara, after much discussion, said that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What's his position? His position is that you basically could believe anybody, Yisrael and Kohen. You can even believe Kohanim that happen to be members of your own family, right? Except for your wife. Your wife is Ishto Kagufa, says the Gemara yesterday. Your wife is like yourself, so therefore, the only one that does not give him credibility is a Kohen over his own Bechor. That's it. So a Kohen comes over to a mumcha, to an expert, and he says to the expert, here's a blemish, take a look at it. And the mumcha says to him, well, whose is it? So he says, it's mine, so that's it. In other words, the discussion is over, conversation is over. You say to the Kohen, look, you got to bring two witnesses in that tell me that this blemish came on its own and you didn't put the blemish on it. So the Kohen himself is not believed over his own. Witnesses can come in the form of, however, his son or his daughter. Okay, that's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel, and the Gemara says, and that's the accepted halacha.
How can he ever bring witness? That's what I don't understand. Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't have great answers. There is a moral attitude in terms of testimony that's provided, which is aid me be aid. That's the last thing we talked about yesterday, hearsay. Meaning, you don't know that a natural blemish occurred to this animal, but you heard it from somebody who actually saw. So can you now deliver this information to the Beis Din? So normally in the world of Edus, the answer is no. All right, Edim are first-hand witnesses to an event, and that's the only Edim that are credible in Beis Din. Anyone else is not credible, even if you have good information from reliable sources. That's just hearsay, and that doesn't count for anything. But the Gemara says, in this case, it's going to work. Why? So the Gemara basically said yesterday, because we saw already a relaxation of the rules. Notably, you can have family members testify. Notably, you can have women testify. So you already see that by Edim of Bechor, there already is a laxity of who's allowed. So now, Edim P8 hearsay, that's also going to be acceptable as well. It'll be admissible. Where else do we see this Eishas Isha? In other words, to solve the issue of an Aguna, a woman who we don't know if her husband's dead or not dead, and the husband went away, and the husband did not come back, and now this woman is an aguna, right? She's chained. So what can we base ourselves on to allow her to remarry? So it's the same basic discussion. It's Eid Mipi'eid, it's Afilu Isha, Afilu Shivcha, meaning we have all these relaxation of the rules in order so that she would be able to remarry again. Okay. Good. That's what we did yesterday. We're continuing in the Gemara today, and we start off with another major sugya, which happens to come up now in the fifth parak of Becharos, and that is the sugya of apesha asur hu apesha hiter. Meaning, if somebody else gets you into trouble, you can't get yourself out of the trouble. But what if you get yourself into trouble? Okay, which happens. I do it all the time. What if you get yourself into trouble? Can you get yourself out of that jam that you put yourself in? So this is the concept of apesha asur hu apesha hiter. We're on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and we start with the words Amar Rabbi Eli. It's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. First words in the line is La'edus Bechor. Amar Rabbi Eli, lo hayu muchzakim bo shu Bechor, uva echad ve'amar shu Bechor, umumo imo ne'eman. So let's say he walks into town with an animal. Now, nobody knows anything, meaning we don't even know what this animal is. So he presents the first piece of information. This animal is a bechor. Okay, that's not good. Because now it's a bechor, it's a karban, right? And again, there's no Beis HaMikdash, and now we have... The next thing we need to hear is that it's blemished. And he says, oh, and it's blemished. And the blemish came naturally. So in other words, he himself got himself into the trouble. He himself now is extracting himself from this issue. This is what's called a pesha asur or a pesha hitir. So he's neman. So he's believed. Okay? Right. Okay, so Phil already is dealing with the basic svara. What's the idea behind this? It's very simple. He could have just said nothing. Just say nothing. Right? We automatically assume every animal is a bechor. Most animals are not a bechor. So he could have said nothing. The fact that he offered this information that's the bechor, now that he put himself in the jam, he has now the credibility to get himself out of it. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Meaning, it definitely helps, but what are you giving me that we don't even know? Rabbi Eli is an Amora, and he's teaching me this new concept? It's not a new concept. We know this from Mishnayos. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah Ksuva, Saisha Shamra, Aisha Sisha Yisi, Ugrusha Ani. Woman walks into town. Nobody knows her. We have no history about her. We don't know her background. She just walks in single. And she says, I was married and I got a divorce. Now, obviously, we're dealing with a woman who doesn't have a divorce document for whatever reason. She doesn't have a get. Okay, but that doesn't matter. In other words, she didn't have to offer the information to begin with. She could have just simply said, hi, I'm available. But she told us she was married, and then she told us she was divorced. Apesha asur, apesha hitir. The Mishnah says it. Anina, I'm sorry. Ugrusha anina emanish apesha asur hu apesha hitir. So ma detema hasam hudi by lo amra. So the Gemara says, well, it's different. In that case over there, ibai lo amra. Look, she could have really walked into town and said nothing. Like, just kept her mouth shut. And nobody would have been the wiser. Avahacha de lo sahi de lo amra de kashim bechutz lo achel. But here, you can't. The Kohen's not going to say nothing. Why not? Because we are now dealing. If this is in fact really a bechor, it's kashim bechutz, meaning it's a karban. As it is right now, it's a karban. He wouldn't do that to himself. He wouldn't do that to others. But more importantly, he wouldn't do that to himself. He wouldn't just simply say, "Oh, I'm ready to eat a karban outside." So already, there's pressure upon him to reveal this information because it's kashim, and he's not going to eat kashim bechutz. So here, it's not like the case with the woman. In the case of the woman, she really could have just simply said nothing. So, So the Gemara says, because, don't worry about that. Meaning, why shouldn't I worry about that? That's a good point. Because he can himself obviate the need, or obviate the concern of kachim b'chutz. Because what he can do is he can put a blemish on the animal. How's that going to help? He's still going to need to go to a mumche. No, he could put a serious, serious blemish on the animal. There are blemishes on an animal, we'll learn later this morning, you don't even need an expert opinion. Meaning they're so obvious, is this a blemish? Well, the animal right now is currently walking on three legs. Okay, I think that's a blemish. I don't know too much about animals, but I think that's a blemish. Okay, now, by the way, the animal's walking on three legs, animal's a trefa. You got other issues, but I'm saying, you understand, there are certain things which are so obvious, I don't need a mumcha. So the Gemara says, so now he could have, had he wanted to, just simply put a blemish in himself and obviated the issue of kachim b'chutz. Okay. So the Gemara says, all right, so now you've introduced us to this concept of apesha asur hu apesha hitir, that the mouth that incriminates you is the same mouth who can extricate you from whatever issue you got yourself into. Okay, good. We saw this now by a woman. We saw this by a woman walking into town, and now we saw this by a Kohen walking into town with an animal. So he's the one who says it's a bechor. He's also the one that can now say the mum came naturally. The Gemara says, what about, consider the following scenario. There's an actual case study. Now there's a person who rented a donkey from his friend, and whenever you rent a car, so they give you a whole bunch of rules and regulations, right? Don't go here, don't go there, right? In Israel, when you rent a car, I don't know if this is, I haven't been in Israel in a couple of years. They tell you, right, don't go here, don't go there, right? Don't travel through that town. So, okay, so rules and regulations. So he rented a donkey, and the renter said, no, the owner said, I should say, so don't go down the road of Narpa Code. Okay, so I know where you're going. I know what your destination is. Don't go around down the road of Narpa Code. Road de Ikamaya. So you go down the Narpa Code road, you're gonna drown my donkey. Because that road is always flooded. And I know it's shorter, I know it's easier, and I know it's more convenient, but don't take that shortcut. You go down the road of Narish, there's no water over there, so I'm telling you the route to take. This is what the owner says to the renter. Now,
so where was this? And this is not
an
Eretz Israel.
No, this is
Bubble. They had that much water in
Bubble. What are you asking? I mean, those aren't fair questions. I mean, you know, my... Okay, so Azal Beorcha Denarpa Kahod Umeis Chamer. So the renter did exactly what he was told not to do. All right, so he goes down the river. He goes down the road of Narpa Kahod. There's a river that runs through Narpa Kahod, and the river floods. The donkey. The donkey dies. Okay, now okay. In all rental agreements, if you violate the conditions, the terms of the agreement, so you know the renter. You know the renter is now in the hole. Asav Amalei Beorcha. I didn't even mean that. But Asav Amalei Beorcha Danar Pachoras Leumi Omaya Lohave. So he goes now back to the owner of the donkey, and he says to the owner of the donkey, "Look, I'm going to fess up. I went down Narpa Kahod like you told me not to, and your donkey died. But let me provide one piece of information. There was no water in Narpa Kahod. It wasn't as a result of a flood that your animal died. Your animal just simply died." But I'm admitting, though, that I went down that road. I'm making that full admission. Now, listen carefully. Amar Rava Mali L'Shakri Yibai Amar Ba'orcha Zanar Shazle. So Rava says, okay, believe the guy, because he didn't have to offer that information. He could have just simply said, I went down the road of Narash. So, in other words, you can believe him. That he did go, in fact, go down the Narpa Kahod path. But he could also believe him that there was no water there. Okay. It's interesting because even though that's true, he still violated the terms of the agreement. Yeah. Meaning, I guess over here we have to...
When he tied the two things.
Yeah, correct. We have to... In other words, he was specific about the reason why he couldn't go down the road of Narpa Kahod. Once the reason's no longer there, so therefore the condition's no longer there. But that's, you know, that's iffy. Meaning... Okay. Right. Agreed. Meaning, when all said and done, he really did violate the terms of the agreement, but there's the letter of the law and there was the spirit behind it, which he explained the spirit behind it. I know, because I didn't want you to go down the water. He said, so the renter said, but there was no water there. So Rava says, okay. Hapesha asar hu hapesha yeter. He offered information that he didn't need to offer, so now he's off the hook. So Vamra Abaye, Mala Shakar Bamakam Edom Lo Amrina. So Abaye says, no. No, I'm not believing him because he is contradicted by witnesses. Now here we're going to use the term witnesses loosely. These aren't real witnesses. There are no witnesses who contradicted him. Okay? Had there really been witnesses who contradicted him, there wouldn't be a discussion. Okay. In other words, when we say witnesses over here, when Abaye says witnesses, he means there's always water down Narpa Kahod. This is a concept we call anan sahadeh, meaning there are certain facts that are so known, such a known quantity, we say as if it's like testimony. Okay, this is what's called anan sahadeh. So Abaye says, you know, he's trying to, you're right, he didn't have to offer the Narpa Kahod information. But I'll be honest with you, his statement that there was no water in Narpa Kahod, that's absurd. It's an absurd statement. There's water down Narpa Kahod. So Abaye says, you know what, I'm not believing him. Now, what bothers the Gemara now is the following. In the case of the woman coming into town, we said, Apeshasar Apeshetar. In the case of the Kohen walking into town, we said, Apeshasar Apeshetar. What's the difference between those two cases? In this case over here, at least according to Abaye. According to Rava, we're fine. Rava also puts us in the category of Apeshasar Apeshetar, but what about according to Abaye? Hachi Hashta. Hasam vada ikamaya, hasam vadai shade be moma chshashahu. Uvamakum chshashah mina mali l'shaker. In other words, you have to put side by side the two facts on the ground. Meaning, is there watered down narpakot? Yeah, there is. It's pretty much a fact. So in other words, and he's trying to contradict that fact, what Abaye refers to as edus. Again, not real edus, but that's a real fact. And now he's coming and telling us that story. So we simply say to him, look, I know you could have started off your story differently. I know you could have started off your story by saying that you went down the road of Narash. You did incriminate yourself. But now you're trying to really lay down on us a real whopper. There was no watered down Narpa code. That's ridiculous. So we simply say to him, look, you're not believed. In the case where now the Kohen comes with the Bechor and he says, oh, but I didn't put the mum on the Bechor. Okay. It's possible.
But we know that Kohanim do.
That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Shasha Ba'alma.
Yeah, but that's the equation with the water.
Correct. But that's what the Gemara now is distinguishing. Meaning, that's not a reality. Right. That's not a known fact. That's just simply a concern that we have. But if we have reason to believe him, like this case over here, because in this case over here, he offered us the information that the animal was a Bechor, and he didn't need to tell us that information. So now it's Hapesh also Hapesh Yehiter. But his statement is not being contradicted by facts. Right. The Narpa code case, his statement is being contradicted by facts.
It's like the average. They went to the Everglades, they didn't get wet.
Right, correct. So Mali Shaka. Yosef Ravina Vakama Lo Shmaita Below Gavra. So Ravina was sitting down and he said over this discussion, but he didn't quote anybody. Amalei Rav Zuta La Ravina. Anamish made the Rabbi Elai Masli. Suddenly he says, look, we got this via Rabbi Elai. If you look at the top of the sugya, that's how it was presented to us by as well through Rabbi Elai. Rabbi Tzadok Avalei Buchra Ramalei Sa'ara Kasle Nasrei Kaila Eruva Arva Klupa. Okay, last story of the sugya, and that is the Bechor of Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok's a Tana. This will turn into a popular story. It's not a popular story, but you'll see it'll turn into a very popular story. Rabbi Tzadok had a Bechor, and what he did is he fed his Bechor, meaning, look, Rabbi Tzadok is a Kohen, Rashi tells us, and now it's for him, wait and see. Wait till the animal develops a blemish. And so he's got to take care of his Bechor. He's feeding his Bechor. And so what he does is he puts barley in a basket, and the Bechor starts eating. And the Bechor gets his lip caught on the basket itself and gets a cut on the mouth. Rabbi Tzadok did not plan this. Rabbi Tzadok, this was not by, there was no malfeasance on the part of Rabbi Tzadok. He was just feeding his animal.
No,
it's not even grama. It's not even grama. No, he was just taking care of his animal. Not even grama. It would have been. Oh, but he cut himself. It seems from the Gemara that he cut himself on the basket. Right, Besali, Nasre, Kaila, Aruva, Arva, Klupa. Okay? And so he cut himself on the animal cut himself on the basket. I'll tell you the only issue. The issue is Rabbi Tzadok is the only one with this information. And Rabbi Tzadok is a Kohen. And right, as we've discussed now and as we've concluded, he does not have credibility to state something over his own animal. So Bahad de Ka'achal, if they sifsa say, so while he was eating, so the animal cut his lip. Also coming to Rabbi Yehoshua. So he goes in front of Rabbi Yehoshua. Now, you're starting to get familiar now with the parties involved in the story. So he goes to Rabbi Yehoshua, Amalei, Kum Chilak Ben Chavar La'amar. So he says to Rabbi Yehoshua, look, I know I'm a Kohen, I know I don't have credibility, but can we make the following distinction? Look, I'm a Talmud Chacham, that Rabbi Tzadok says, and not he's not saying this arrogantly, he's just simply saying, look, does the Halacha acknowledge that maybe there's a difference between a Talmud Chacham and an Am Haaretz. Meaning, maybe this whole idea that Kohanim don't have credibility, that's by calling Am Haaretz. But maybe, this is what Rabbi Tzadok is suggesting, because I'm a Talmud Chacham, so therefore afford me credibility. This is what his suggestion is. I'm a little Rabbi Yehoshua Hain, and Rabbi Yehoshua says, yes. Go ahead. Okay? Meaning, yes, the Halacha does acknowledge the difference between the two. Now, we've been discussing this issue for the past 2 days. Have we seen anything that makes a distinction on this particular issue between Chavar and Am Haaretz? Then the correct answer is no. We have seen nothing no Mishnah, no Braisa, no statement of an Amora, nothing that indicates that we make such a distinction. In fact, we say, generally speaking, that Kohanim are not Neman. Period. Okay. So, Rabbi Yehoshua said something which right now is not supported by anything. And watch where the story goes. Amalei Rabbi Yehoshua Hein Asa Lakamid Rabbi Gamla Amalei Chilak Demei Chavala Maaretz. Now, in general, don't go for a second opinion, or go for a second opinion. What do we say about that? Depends. Okay, how about this though? He got the answer he wanted. He got the answer he wanted, and he went for a second opinion. Okay. All right. So he goes now to Rabbi Gamliel, and he says to Rabbi Gamliel, Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, lo Amalei. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, lo. So the second opinion that comes from Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, right, he's the head, and Rabbi Gamliel says, no, there's no difference between an Amaretz and a Chaver, meaning Sof Kol Sof, bottom line is, a Kohen is not Neman. There's no Nemanus of a Kohen. And so Rabbi Tzadok, you can't say that the mum came naturally. Amalei, Vahar Rabbi Yeshua, Amalei Hain. So Rabbi Tzadok says to Rabbi Gamliel, you know, it's funny you say no, because Rabbi Yoshua said to me, yes. Okay, this story is not going to go well. Amar lo hamtein achialu bali tritzin lebeis mezer. So Rabbi Gamliel says, okay, we need the bali tritzin. Bali tritzin, people with the sword. People with the shield. Okay? Those are your Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim will fight the Mechama of Torah. And they fight with shields. I like the imagery of shields. I like it a lot better than that of swords. Meaning, they defend their positions. They don't attack one another per se. They're there more to defend than to attack. But the Balei Tritzim, Beis HaMedrash, Kevish HaNichnos, Beis HaMedrash, Amar HaShol V'Shal. So now, they're in the Beis HaMedrash, and here you have now everyone there. Rabbi Gamliel there, Rabbi Yoshua there, and Rabbi Tzadok, and everyone understand the drama. Because Rabbi Yoshua said that there's a difference between an Amar Eretz Kohen and a Kohen Talmid Chacham. Rabbi Gamliel already answered, he says there is no difference. And I know Rabbi Yoshua said there's a difference. I know where he got that from. So now they're in the Beis Medrash, and all your principal parties of the story are there. And somebody gets up now and stands up, and he asks the question, is there a difference in terms of credibility between a Talmid Chacham and an Amar Eretz? Amar le Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua answers the question, and listen carefully to his answer, lav. He says, no, there's no difference. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, v'alo mishmecha amru lohein. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, now I heard in your name that you said, yes, there is a difference. Now, this next line of Gemara, I'm going to read, I'm going to translate. It's going to be difficult to understand.
How come the Tzadok didn't tell him? But you told me before, you told me before, yes.
I understand that, but Rabbi Gamliel is a Nasi, so he's conducting, in other words, it's his base medrash. Amr Lohain, Yoshua Amod Avraglecha, V'yaidu Bach. So he says to Rabbi Yoshua, now Rabbi Yoshua, you need to stand, and we're going to testify against you. Amr Rabbi Yoshua Avraglecha, Amr Heche Eseh. Now Rabbi Yoshua was called to task, meaning you said, I was quoting your name, no, and now you're saying yes. Okay, you're flip-flopping. El Male Ani, Chaihu V'hu Meis, Look, I'll tell you the truth. If I were alive and you were dead, so I could contradict, the alive can contradict the dead. But everyone here is still alive. So so I can't contradict. I know it sounds so strange. He's essentially saying, I'd love to contradict, I'd love to deny, but I can't. Okay, so it's hard. It's really hard to understand what Rabbi Yoshua is trying to say over here. Look, I guess it just runs back to the basic question of why did he say no when the answer is yes? What was he doing there? There's so much of the story that I do not understand.
But I think he's saying I'm going along with what you want, but it's not what I want.
Maybe. V'haya Rabbi Gamliel omed v'doresh v'Rabbi Yoshua omed al raglav. So now, public embarrassment. And obviously now the story is going to sound very familiar, and you should be saying to yourself, wait a second, I've heard this story before, and the answer is yes, you have. Meaning this is not the first time that Rabbi Gamliel publicly embarrassed Rabbi Yoshua, where Rabbi Gamliel now continued to darshan, he taught, and everyone was sitting, but Rabbi Yoshua was not given permission to sit, and so Rabbi Yoshua now is remaining standing in the Beis Medrash as Rabbi Gamliel is continuing darshaning. So, Esachav Ayyam Gamal, Omed Vidarish of Yeshua, Omed Al Raglav, Adshi Rinanu, Kola Amva Amru, Lechutzmas Amatorgaman, Amod Ve Amad. And everybody starts murmuring, and you know, that's that awkward, very uncomfortable feeling in the room that the Rabbi Gamliel, the Nasi, is talking. Rabbi Yeshua is now being embarrassed. So it's tension, because I don't want to tell the Rabbi Gamliel to stop. I can't do that. I don't like Rabbi Yehoshua being embarrassed publicly. It's a very uncomfortable moment. Murmuring was going on. Finally, someone got to Chutzpitz HaMeturgamon. We just talked about him at the end of Chulin. He's one of the Asara Haruge Malchus. And he was the Meturgamon. Meturgamon back then, the human megaphone. Right? The Talmud Chacham would be darshaning, and Chutzpitz HaMeturgamon would be basically broadcasting his message to the people. And they basically turned off the human microphone. They told Rabbi Chutzpitz HaMeturgamon, please stop. And he did stop. And okay, and so this session came to an end, and awkward. Or in other words, and when I say to you, it sounds familiar, because now you're going to remember the Gemara Brachos, and the Gemara Brachos brought in another episode, another incident where this kind of thing happened, and they deposed Rabbi Gamliel, for embarrassing Rabbi Yeshua not once but twice. This is the second time the Gemara makes reference to. Right, you see the Gemara Brachos over there. You'll see where else was it? Oh, the Bukhra of Rabbi Tzadok. The firstborn Rabbi Tzadok, that's this story right here. Oh. Lamed Vav.
So,
does
it tell us that in terms of Mishnayot, which came first?
I don't know which story comes first. It sounds like,
in general, like what he wrote first. Could it be that this was a Mishnah?
This is not a Mishnah. I mean, this is brought to us via, I'm not even sure how to call this. Is it a Braisa? Maybe it's a Braisa. Okay.
That's how he takes the Rashi, where the Rashi says, Yochala la Chisho.
Right. I could contradict him. Okay, anyway, but, and then Rabbi Gamliel was deposed, and then the rest of the story goes. Everyone remember? They looked for a new Nasi, they looked for a new head. And summarizing the Gemara and Brachos. And they looked around, they had a hard time finding one. Right? Finally, they went to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Right, that's why the Gemara is over there in Brachos. They went to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. He says, "Look, I know you're young, but right now you're our best option." Right, Rabbi Kiva's a Ben Gerim, and everybody had their own issues in terms of why they could not head up the Nasi. So they went to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and he went home and he asked his wife, and you know what his wife told him? Don't do it. Don't do it. And he did it. He didn't listen to his wife. And then after a little bit of time, they rethought their decision and they said, oh, this is not right. Right, Rabbi Gamliel, I know we deposed him, but we shouldn't depose him. And the whole thing was messy. And so then what they did is they basically created a partnership, Nasi Rosh Yeshiva, where basically it was a 4-week cycle. Sometimes Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshan, sometimes Rabbi Gamliel darshan. And they gave us the term Shabbos Shalmi. Like, in other words, everyone else is like our chaburos, right? Like, who's on the Shabbos? Like, who's the Rosh Yeshiva the Shabbos?
Which one passed away first?
I mean, if I'm guessing, I'll say Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I mean,
no, passing away, like, he passed away first?
I don't know.
I mean, like,
who succeeded Rabbi Gamliel?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't know. Danny? I'm saying the whole had we not gone for a second opinion, the story would not have happened.
Blame the victim, now you blame the victim. It was a positive answer. It wasn't a negative answer. He got a second opinion.
The second opinion, he got a no.
No, but I'm saying
the first opinion was a yes. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's.
No, it, you wanted to know the truth.
Agreed, the whole thing's strange. Yeah. Okay.
The story in Brachos is almost identical. We shouldn't ask in Dan
and Mark. Right.
That's a simple question.
Yeah, right. Rishus versus Chova. Okay. Neman akon lamar haresi b'chor zel ba'mom hu. Okay, look. Here's what we've been discussing now up until now, where we don't believe at Cohen. Cohen's not believed to say that the blemish came organically. We suspect that the Kohen put the blemish in himself, so therefore he does not have credibility. But how about this? How about it's well established that the blemish came organically? And the only thing left now is, did I show it to a Chacham or did I not show it to a Chacham? And the Mishnah says, the Kohen's believed to say he showed it to a Chacham. For that he's believed. Now the question is, why? Why is he believed to say that he showed it to a Chacham? So, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Naaman, a Kohen Lamar Bechor Zeh Nasan LeYisrael, B'mumo. Similarly, a Kohen could say, you know, I got this from a Yisrael, and it already had a blemish. So my time is called Milsa David Aluglui Lomashakra Bay Inche. Because information that will become known, meaning if there could be a fact check on something that you say, you're not going to lie. That's a general rule that the Gemara is going to now use its application right over here. So if you say something and somebody can fact check you, that's going to be a good indication that what you're saying is in fact true and correct. And it gives you credibility. I'm Rav Ashi, Avanami Tanina. Rav Ashi says, yeah, this idea of Kol Milsa David Ligluye, that's our Mishnah in Becharos. Now, Manako and Lama Haresi Bechor Zeh Ovam Momu, my time, Alam Misham Damina Kol Milsa David Ligluye, Lama Shakar Bey Inche. So, why don't you just look at our Mishnah that we just learned? Doesn't that speak to the idea of Kol Milsa David Ligluye? So the Gemara says, no, it does not. Hasam Hu Dekash Bechos Lo Achel. Avahacha Kim Dechashide Chashide. So the Gemara says, no, it does not. Because in the case of our Mishnah, a Kohen is not going to eat a karban outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's kachin b'chutz. And until you show it to a mumche, it's kachin b'chutz. So he is not going to just simply say, oh, don't worry, I showed it to a mumche. If in fact he didn't, he wouldn't do that to himself. He would not want to eat kachin b'chutz, right? Cheating other people is one thing. But eating a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, that he would not do. Okay. So our Mishnah doesn't necessarily speak to the idea of Kol Milsa. Meisa Rav Shizbe Homer Lemisha Eneman La Maisa Kachli Mimishu Neman O Mimishu Maiser Eino Neman. Okay. Let's say I go to somebody who's disreputable. He is not Neman, right? He's already shown a lack of integrity in terms of taking off Shumas and Maestros. And I say to him like this, look, I'm not going to purchase produce from you, but I want you to go to somebody who's Naaman, and I want you to buy from somebody who's Naaman and bring me that produce.
You're making him a shliach.
You're making him a shliach. And what is the, let's call this a Mishnah? Yeah. And what does the Mishnah say? Ain't no Naaman. No. If he's not Naaman about his own produce, certainly he's not going to be Naaman to tell you, oh, don't worry, I got it from somebody who is Naaman. So am I Naaman Kol Milsa David Lo Meshaker Be'inshe? But once you have this concept of Kol Milsa, that anytime you could get fact-checked, so you are believed, doesn't this Mishnah in Demai contradict? In other words, can we fact-check? So the Gemara says, no, Shani Hasam, top now of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, the Islay Le'ishta Mutate. So here, no, because he can navigate his way around. Meaning, look, right, Rashi says, "Ile ditchalon lo mehemon ana havi chashivna le mehemon hilkach lo mirsas meikara." He has no fear from the very beginning because, in other words, he's afforded me some credibility. Meaning, he's told me to go get from somebody who's credible. So obviously, this guy must believe me to a certain degree. So he's now walking and serving as a shliach with no fear whatsoever. He has no fear. So there, he'll say whatever he wants to say. So you basically, you enabled him. you gave him the confidence to lie. So we're not going to say over there, Kol Milsa David Aligluye.
But even if you do a fact check, let's say he did go and buy from that guy, right? It doesn't mean that he's giving you what he bought from the guy. You get something else.
Right.
Even you verify.
Correct.
You get room for,
Correct. Seifa vade misayele. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's move on to the next part of that Mishnah. And the next part of the Mishnah definitely speaks to the idea of Kol Milsa. Mi'ishponi hareze neman. Let's say I say to the shliach, now this shliach is not, he's not credible. He's not good. But I say to him, look, I want you to go to him. And I specify specifically who I want him to go to. So the Mishnah says, now we're okay. Once I told him who to go to. Now,
yeah,
doesn't that speak?
The guy, yeah.
It speaks to the idea of Kol Milsa.
Right.
Kol Milsa David Ligluye Naaman, that once you can fact check, and you can simply go now to the guy you sent them to, not now, later on, but doesn't matter. The fact that you can fact check, it gives now the credibility. So it speaks to the idea. The Gemara says again, not necessarily, Hasam Kevin Diisle Toveya Mirsas. Once you told them to go specifically to that particular guy, it's more than Kol Milsa. It's now he knows that I'm going to speak to him at a later point in time. So it's more than just a simple fact check. I'm basically telling him, you go to so-and-so, and you better believe that I'm going to check up on it later on. So it's a step above Kol Milsa, and so therefore it's not really great proof. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Baraba Menalele Yehudaha. So the Gemara says, where do we get this from? The statement of I got it from a Yisrael with a blemish, already with a blemish. Where does he get that from? So Ana Begido Kava Ata Begido Kava Bididei V'Hacha Amar Lei. So I got this from the following. Neman Yisrael Lama Bechor Zenasat Elikom Bemomo Yisrael Pshita Lo Tzarech Bekatan V'Higdil. If it's a case where I just got it from Yisrael, well, that's so obvious. Meaning, yes, there he's believed. What is the case is, Bekatan V'Higdil, how about this? I got it when the animal was really young. And the blemish that the animal got was really young. And even though it's 2 years later, 3 years later, I know it's an animal, we're talking about not a long life, there's no real longevity, but the animal now is grown up, but I still recognize the animal. I still know that it's that same animal that I bought from Israel. So now you can make a very simple argument, which is, you really recognize an animal in its older stages? So the Gemara says, Kamash Malam, that's the Chiddush. Chiddush is that even though this animal has aged, what you've been doing, holding on for so long, I'm not really sure, but you're still believed to say that this is the same animal that I got from the Israel. And the Gemara says the halacha is like the lishna kama, and so even the kohen, meaning even the kohen himself, is neman to say that I got this from Yisrael with a blemish. Yumachad chalosh beinei. Sorry, I skipped a little bit. Rafram bepumpadisa havale bochra. So Rafram had a bechor in the town of Pumpadisa. V'yavile lekohen belomam. And then what he did is he gave it to a kohen without a blemish. Now this kohen was totally unscrupulous. He put a blemish in the animal. Totally unscrupulous. But wait, it gets better. Now one day, Raphram, the one who had the bechor, the one who gave it to this kohen, so he had poor eye vision. Aisa lekameh. Now this unscrupulous kohen who put the blemish on the animal presented it to Raphram. And what did he say? Here's his story. Look, I bought the animal from a Yisrael. Now, he just lied straight to Raphram. You understand, Raphram was the one who gave him the animal to begin with. But Raphram couldn't see well, so Raphram at first didn't recognize that this Cohen was blatantly lying to him. So, Nasan Yisrael b'mumo. Arfarsine le'ene. Rashi, Pasach Eino Bekoach. Even though he really had a hard time seeing, but right, things were sounding a little strange, he opened his eyes as wide as he could, Chazia B'Shakre, and he sees, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. You're the Kohen that I gave the Bechor to. This Bechor is the same Bechor that I gave you. You're the one who put the blemish on the animal. You didn't get it from another Yisrael. Like, I cannot believe you're blatantly lying to me. Amalei lav ana diyahavtelach. I'm the one who gave it to you. Vafilach lo chash lelamilsei. Hayu dechatzif kolam lo chatzif. Now the Gemara says, good. It's a story, it's a crazy story, but it's anecdotal. It's an important point. The Gemara says, even though sometimes you have stories like this, that particular kohen had extra chutzpah. Not all kohanim have that kind of chutzpah. So in other words, our rule is still going to be in effect. That if you have a Kohen who says that I got the animal from Yisrael with a blemish, so for that he has credibility. Why? Because of the concept to call Milsa David Aleglui, because we can always fact check. Yeah, the Gemara just told us a real wild story about a Kohen who was such a chutzpan. Okay, but that's anecdotal. Hahu sarua da'asla kamid Rav Ashi. Now, there was an animal that was sarua. Six perek is coming up. We're going to deal with all these issues of what is a physical blemish. And sarua is basically asymmetry. The animal is asymmetrical. One leg's longer than the other. One eye's bigger than the other. So the animal, now this is a blemish. Also coming to Rav Ashi, Amar lo mai nechush lei kohen have, Yisrael have, hari bechor mumo imo. So he says, look, it's a blemish, right?
It's not a kohen,
nobody can do that. Yeah, a kohen can't do that also. In other words, right. Amar lo ravila Rav Ashi v'dumma Yisrael huva, Amar Rav Yehuda imron bechor Yisrael alem kein kohen imo. Now, the Gemara says, here's the only issue over here. You have to find out right now who the guy is bringing this animal is. Meaning the animal is certainly a blemished animal. That's not the issue. And we're not even worried about someone inflicting this blemish on the animal. Obviously, this is congenital. Obviously. The issue is, it can't be a Yisrael right now walking in. You can't be Mati Bechor for a Yisrael. And why not? It's very simple.
Unless that was suffix about it.
Okay, right. But the answer is very simple. Because you say to the Yisrael, oh yeah, this is a blemish. So now, think of the Yetzer Hara going to work on this Yisrael. The Yetzer Hara is tapping the Yisrael on the shoulder and saying, look, you know you're allowed to eat it. I know you need to give it to a Kohen, but it's no longer Kachem Bachutz. And you know you're allowed to eat it. And really, the Kohen's not entitled. And you're not even sure who's a Kohen anyway. And why don't you just hang on to it? So in other words, not to give the Yisrael any type of Yetzer Hara. So basically, the rule is, you can't be matir a mum for a Yisrael, and then trust that the Yisrael gives it to a Kohen. But rather, it can only be a Kohen. And the only time that will allow Yisrael is only if he has a Kohen together with him. Why didn't he just simply give it to the Kohen at that point in time? I don't know. So I'm le hachi hashta hasam nehi dekashim b'chutzal achil. I'm a moni de Kohen chashid. Hacha michti yad da'imom movaku my time asu kama my time asu kamei rabbanan mishum kvodu de chacham. A kvod de chacham lo avid or lo avar isura avar isura avad. So the Gemara says like this: look, kashim b'chutz we're not worried about, and why is this guy bringing it to a mumcha? It's very simple. We all know that it's a blemish. The reason why is kavod. In other words, like we talked about this in the beginning of chulin, right? Sometimes you have to show a knife, or sometimes they're right. Every day you have to show a knife to the talmid chacham of the community because of kvodo shel talmid chacham. So here also, you show, even though it's obvious, we know it's a blemish, but you show it to a talmid chacham anyway, out of his kavod. If this particular person is worried about the kavod of a talmid chacham, so he already now is showing you that he's reputable, that he's ethical, he's moral. He now, even if he's the Yisrael, he will give it to a Kohen. He will do good. Hakol ne'emanim amum ma'iser, the Mishnah, quick Mishnah. As far as Ma'iser Behemoth is concerned, everyone's believed. That to say that the animal is a blemished animal and the blemish came naturally. So the Gemara gives us the answer, which we saw already. You could put the blemish on already before. Mi'ada ha'inafak. So the Gemara says, wait a second. It's only the 10th animal that's going to get Ma'aser Behema. Do you know which animal it's going to be? V'chitema, ma'apik le'bereisha sara. Now, what are you going to tell me? That he put it in line number 10, lo yivakar bein tov l'ra. You're not allowed to do that. Meaning the counting of your Ma'aser Behema has to happen without any design. It has to be random. So, bein tov l'ra, amar rachmana, ela di'iba, isha de'bema, b'chole adre. So the Gemara says, what you could do is clip the ear of every single animal in your flock. And so now, and you can do that before you count. And so now you know that the Ma'aser Behema that's going to come out is going to be a blemished Ma'aser Behema. And you have the right to do that because before you count, it's all chulin. So this is what we call in the world of halacha biyado. You have the ability to put the blemish on prior to you counting. So therefore, if after you counted and after you designated Ma'aser Behema, you now state this animal is blemished and it happened naturally, since you could have done that to begin with, so therefore, you have credibility. Once it's biyada, it's within your control, you're given that manas.
Is that ethical to do that?
It's interesting. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Before, I would venture, it certainly does not sound like the spirit of the law, meaning the Torah wants you to bring that 10th animal as a carbon.
Maybe
perhaps. B'chor shenitz meitzeinu v'shenikta yadam.
Why doesn't the Sargon apply to everything else? That if he wished, he could have done it for the Kohen also.
No, because the Kohen's never allowed to do it. Kohen's never allowed to put a blemish on the animal. Ma'aser behemah. Because before you start counting, it's all chulin. So chulin, you can put blemishes on your chulin.
Before you count.
B'chor shenitz meitzeinu v'shenikta yado shnish baraglo harei ze yishchar al pi b'gimel b'nei ha-knesses. That's correct. You have a b'chor, his eyes gouged, the hand is chopped off, the leg is broken. It's a mum. You still need to go through the formality of asking, but here you don't need a chacham. Gimel b'nei ha-knesses. Go to shul right before mincha, bring the animal in tow. Right, you're going to see, Baruch Hashem, you'll see a group of men learning in the Beis Medrash, the Asara Batlanim, the 10 people who are in the Beis Medrash every day, making a minyan. And you simply go to three of them and you say to them, okay, here. Okay? So Rabbi Yossi Amar, Afilu Yesham Chav Gimel, Eino Nishchad El Al Pi Mumcha. Now Rabbi Yossi says, no, you need a mumcha. I don't care how obvious it is. Rabbi Yossi is a man of process. You need a mumcha all the time, even if it's obvious to all. Now, Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah Tavai, Mishmei de Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Amri, Va'amri, La, Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Tavai, Misham, Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah Amri. Okay, who said all this? We're not sure, but that's not true. We know it's Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, just who he said in the name of. Hataraz Bechor Bechutza Aretz, Al Pishosha B'nei HaKnesses. You want to be Mati Bechor in Chutza Aretz? So all you need is Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. Now, Chutz La'aretz, it's funny. What's the difference between a Bechor in Eretz Yisrael and a Bechor in Chutz La'aretz? It's not the beginning of a joke. I'm not passing this as humor. Meaning I'm actually asking a sincere and honest question. What's the difference? Ostensibly nothing. Ostensibly. Meaning I understand in Eretz Yisrael you're going to have a better shot of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash. And outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're far away. It still is Kedushas Bechor. And especially after the Churban HaMikdash, like then, what's the difference? I'm asking a question. I'm not really sure what the answer is. Meaning, clearly the Gemara is differentiating, but they both have Kedushas Bechor. Yeah, you understand. In Eretz Yisrael, you're closer to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Anyway, sorry. Bechor Bechutz Aretz Al Pi Shosh Menei HaKnesses. You can't even bring it.
Right. That's a difference.
Okay, let's see the Gemara tomorrow. Rashi quotes the Gemara tomorrow. Okay. Looking forward. Amaravo v'mumen muvhakim. My? I'm sorry. Amaravo v'mumen muvhakim. So in other words, all you need is three members of the shul, right? Members in good standing, of course. So three members of the shul. So the Gemara says, but if it's an obvious blemish... Well, didn't you just learn a Mishnah in Becharos? Like you're quoting Rav Yishuv ben Levi, you're quoting Rav Yehuda Nisiyah. It's a Mishnah in Becharos. So, my Kamashmal and Tanina, Bechor Shenitz Meitzeinu V'Shenikta Yado V'Shenishper Ragla Reza Yishkat Al Pi Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. Im Imas Nisen, Hava Min Bechot Sarz Afilu Momim Shein Muvakim. V'Hai Diktani Muvakim Odicha Kochad Rav Yossi Kamashmalan. So, the Gemara says, look, because without this, I would have thought in Chutz La'aretz you can even be more lax. In Chutz La'aretz, I can even go to my three shul members and I can say to them, look, this is a tricky one, but I know you guys can handle it. Like, this is not such an obvious one, but, you know, give it your best shot. We're in Chutz La'aretz anyway. That's what I would have thought. Kamashman, the Chiddush is no. That this permission for having three shul members to look at and to judge is only by obvious mumim, and that doesn't, and we're not going to differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Safik Mishmei Derav, Safik Mishmei Deshmol, Gimel Matir Nasa Bechor, B'makom She'ein Mumcha. Now, what if you don't have a Mumcha? Okay, you can go to three people. Maika Mashmal Antanina, Arizei Yishkot, Api Gimel B'nei HaKnesses. So the Gemara says, Yimim Masnisen Hava Amina B'makom Mumcha. Kamashmal B'makom She'ein Mumcha. In B'makom She'yesh Mumcha Lo. What we're learning now is that the Mishnah that allows you to go to three shul members is only when there's no Mumcha. Once you have a mumcha around, you cannot bypass the mumcha and go to the three shul members. That three shul member heter is only number one when it's obvious, and number two when there's no mumcha around. Amar Rav Chiya bar Amram Gimel Matirnes Bechor b'makom she'ein mumcha Gimel Matirnes a neder b'makom she'ein chacham. A person made a neder and he wants to get out of the neder, so he can go to three people, three stam people. We know this every Rosh Hashanah, right? You're not looking for experts. You're looking for members of the shul. Good. Gimel Matirnes a Bechor b'makom she'ein mumcha. And Ataras Bechor with Lafukim and Rav Yossi. Now, as far as that's concerned, what we learned is the halacha does not fall like Rav Yossi. Remember, Rav Yossi says, you need a mumcha always. Okay? We don't, and on that regard, we don't fall like Rav Yossi. Shlosha, mafirin, or matir, nesai, nedim, mamakon, shayin, chacham, lafukim, and Rav Yehuda, detanya, hafaras, and darim, begimel, Rav Yehuda, omer, echad, mehem, chacham. Rav Yehuda says that to be matir, neder, you need one of them to be a chacham. But makam, shayin, chacham, kagon, man, am Rav Nachman, kagon, ana. Okay, I know. So, give me an example of a chacham. Rav Nachman says, "I'll present to you an example of a chacham, me." Okay, that's Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda Amar Echad Mehem Chacham Echad Dahanach Kol Dehu Amar Ravina Demistavri Leivis Savar. So the Gemara says, now if one of them is a chacham, the other two are like what? Like Kol Dehu? Like anybody? So the Gemara says, Demistavri Leivis Savar. People who understand Svara, okay, in other words, they may not be knowledgeable, but they're smart. You explain something to them, they'll understand. Rav Yossi, Amar Rav Flili Yesham Chav Gimel, Amar Rav Chanana, Amar Rav, Ein Halacha K'Rav Yossi. The Gemara says, Halacha is not like Rav Yossi. Pshita Yachav Rav, Malacha K'Rav. The Gemara says, okay, I know that, but isn't that obvious? Meaning Rav Yossi is arguing with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama is the majority position. So without saying anything more, isn't it obvious that we don't fall like Rav Yossi? So the Gemara says, look, whenever Rav Yossi says something, he has powerful logic and argument that comes along with his position. And so therefore, I might have said that even though he's arguing with the Rabbin, but the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, kamash malan tisha mehadah kamaisa mishmei deshmuel, itmar, di mishmei derav tarti lamali. So the Gemara says one technical point. If you remember earlier, we quoted maybe in the name of Rav, maybe in the name of Shmuel. Rav Yehuda, remember, studied under both, and we weren't sure which one he quoted in. At least now can we say that it was from Shmuel, because had it been from Rav, then Rav Chanano sang in the name of Rav, and Shmuel sang, in other words, we're repeating ourselves. So Chad Michal Chaverta Itma, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe Rav only said it one time, and one statement was implied from the other statement, and it wasn't a repetition. Okay. Quick summary of today. Pesh Asar Hu HaPesh Shehitir. Okay, that was our first topic of discussion today. We pointed out that's not always true. In other words, if it's contradicted by Edim, and we use the word Edim loosely, so then we don't say HaPesh Asar Hu HaPesh Shehitir. We went over the very famous story of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel, right, where Rabbi Yeshua said no, and then the Beis Medrash said yes. There's a difference between a Chaver and an Am Haaretz. And then they went to the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Gamliel said no, and there was no difference. And he pointed to Rabbi Yeshua, what do you say? And Rabbi Yeshua had to say no, and okay, and then led to the uncomfortable embarrassment, and they had to get chutzpahs to stop the shiur. Yekohen, even though he's not believed, is believed to say that I show this mom, okay, and then we led ourselves to the concept of milsa da'avida l'igluye, things which will be revealed. Fact check, so you have credibility on that. And then we talked about Meiser Behema. Everyone's believed about Meiser Behema because that's Biyado. And then what about obvious blemishes? Obvious blemishes, you don't have to go to a mumcha. You can go to three members of the shul and that would be sufficient. Two qualifications we said about that. Number one, if there's a mumcha around, you can't bypass the mumcha. Number two, it has to be obvious blemishes. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up from the Mishnah.